You have your Bible with you this morning. I want to follow along in the reading. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. If you're able to, would you stand with me this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture? Very familiar passage. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to begin our reading this morning with verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Father, we need your divine touch, your divine anointing this morning. Pray that you would give that blessing and that help that is needed, both to the speaker as well as to the hearer. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about the pursuit of the holy. What's the text verse? We could look at verse number 10 and find the text verse in the latter part, especially of that verse, for he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. We could also look in the latter part of verse number 11. Which speaks about the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We could even move on down to verse number 13, where the writer here is talking about making straight paths for your feet. The pursuit of the holy. Making straight paths for your feet. You could find it there. We could call that our text verse. I'm sure that if you have followed along carefully in the reading, you would look at verse number 14 as the text verse. As we think about the thought of the pursuit of the holy, you can find it very easily in verse number 14, follow peace with all men and follow holiness. The pursuit of. We could even find a text verse for this subject in verse number 15. Though it doesn't specify it as well as it does in verse number 14, it does tell us in verse 15 that the person that is pursuing the holy will be conscious of verse 15 in their life, looking diligently lest any fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That verse, you've heard me say it before, that verse always stands out to me, especially the last part, thereby many be defiled. Because as we think about pursuing the holy, when we get to verse number 15, we have to come to grips. We have to come to the reality that there is something that destroys the fruit of righteousness, or there are things, there's something around that can destroy the fruit of holiness. We could even jump over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 for a text verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The pursuit of the holy would include that very statement from our Lord's mouth at the Sermon on the Mount. When he gave all of those blesseds, those blessed portions, and verse number 6 is certainly one that would be a part of the person's life that is pursuing the holy. If we look at some other translations to see how they translate things, we will find that verse number 14, which again, probably stands out in most of our minds and our reading here as the key element or the key verse or the text verse. Another translation said, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Another translation says, strive to live in peace with everybody. And pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Then there's that first part of verse 14 that speaks about following peace with all men. Jesus told us that if we live godly, God's word tells us that if we live righteous lives, that the world will hate us. Does that cause any kind of turmoil in your thinking? Because I dare say that when we look at verse number 14 of Hebrews 12, we want to make that a part of our lives. Follow peace with all men. Strive to live peaceably among all people. That we want that to be the category that is brought up in our lives. That we are at peace with those around us. How does it balance out? Make every effort. Strive to follow peace. Pursue peace. It means that we are to do everything that we can, but still, while we are living righteous lives, there will be times when the world will hate us. And we are not to lose hope in that time. I don't want an enemy. I don't even like the thought of having an enemy. But if we live godly lives, there's going to be times when is going to hate us. But the Hebrew writer isn't telling us that we have to have peace at all costs. He said, strive to live peaceably. Follow peace with all men. Now, holiness, the word holiness in this particular verse or in this context, holiness is the element that holds the key to these verses. Holiness is the element that holds the key to these verses. Or you can look back at verse number 11 where it says the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. Verse number 10 speaks of partakers of God's holiness. I believe it was Paul that tells us in his life that he wanted to know God. He longed to know God. It seems as though that when we follow the life of Paul in the book of Acts, as well as through the writings that he provided for us, that we will see that Paul did everything that he could to know God. That was his goal. That was his aim. And in the midst of knowing God and the power of his resurrection, he, Paul the Apostle, did not shy away from suffering. Did you ever notice how quick we are when we have to suffer, how quick we are to ask God to remove it from us? You know, when we get sick, let's just take it. And we've had enough sickness around here. Thank God that he does provide a healing balm. Thank God he does give a healing touch. But the first thing we do when we get sick or we have to suffer, oh God, take this away. Please remove this from me. Go through the valley. Oh God, would you bring me to the mountain again? I can't take the valley. And yet we find that Paul is saying, in the midst of his hunger to know God, he said something about the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Instead of asking God to remove those suffering points or those places that are valleys or cloudy days, if we would ask him to show us what he's wanting us to learn. Oh, I'm not saying that we ought to stand in line for it. But when he brings it to us, that we not so readily beg him to remove it, but Lord, would you teach me? The pursuit of God, the pursuit of the holy. I know it's a far-fetched thought. It's a far-fetched thought this morning. But just bear with me and let my imagination run just a little bit this morning. Is it possible that the writer here of Hebrews is thinking about the passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, the psalmist words, where the psalmist said, as the deer longeth, or the deer panteth after the water brook, so does my soul pant after thee, or long after thee, O God. You know, there's a flip side to the coin of longing for the things of God. There is. There's a flip side to it. And we can find that flip side recorded in the Psalms as well, in Psalm 106. The flip side to this deer that's longing for the water brooks, or the soul that's longing after God, or the pursuit of the holy, we find it in the record here of Psalm 106, referencing the lives of the children of Israel. And the children of Israel are just mirrors of people. They're just mirrors of us. Unfortunately, But as a mirror of us, you and I should be able to take notice of what they're saying to give us an edge to be better. In Psalm 106, it says, they soon forget. Let me change that. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but they lusted, or they longed exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. You remember what he's talking about? Do you recall what he's speaking about? What was it that they were longing for in the desert? Well, there was times that they longed for water. There's times that they longed for something to eat. Sometimes their longing got to the point where they weren't satisfied with the heavenly manna. They wanted some meat. Is there anything wrong with that? I'm thankful for water. I'm thankful for food. God was providing everything that they needed. It's just that when God didn't measure up to their wants or to meet their criteria or to meet their timetable, it tells us that their heart began to long for something more. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and they tempted God in the desert. Now the next verse is what gives us the counter side to this thing of pursuing the holy. The next verse gives us the opposition to pursuing the holy and what takes place when a person does not pursue the holy. The psalmist records it this way. He gave them over to their request, or he gave them their request, but sent leanness to the soul. That should be startling. We read 17 verses in the first part here of chapter 12 of Hebrews. The entirety of those 17 verses speaks about the pursuit of the holy. But the flip side is summed up in one verse here in the Psalms, that he gave them their requests. Just because God didn't measure up to their criteria, because God didn't measure up to their timetable or their timeline, they began to long for something else. Or they began to long for more. And God gave them their request, but along with that request, their soul became lean. Verse number 35 of that same division. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. You see, that's what follows the leanness of the soul. You say, well, Brother Ziegler, you said you were going to preach about the pursuit of the holy. I am. But as we think about pursuing the holy, we must take into consideration the reality of mankind, the reality of the potential of our heart being drawn away. They mingled with the heathen and they learned their works. The next verse says, and it was a snare unto them. The same division of the Psalms. Hunger, thirst, pursue, the pursuit of the holy. What does it mean then? What does it mean then for us to pursue the holy? Does it mean that we study in Sunday school class and we go to church and we worship in church? Oh yeah, by the way, Brother Ziegler, I'm reading my Bible through this year. Well, how is that going? Anybody want to report in real quick that you're on top of it, you're ahead of it, you're going to read it through this year, maybe even before the year's up? the pursuit of the holy. I'm going to Sunday school and studying God's word in Sunday school, and I'm going to church and I'm worshiping in church, and I'm reading my Bible through. What does it mean to pursue God or to pursue the holy? Could I venture out onto a limb here and suggest that it's more than just doing those things? I don't think that it's going to include something else and ignore those things. I don't think that you're going to get around those things, but it's going to be more than that. It's going to be something that comes out of the heart. God is holy, but fallen man must become holy, must be made holy. Holiness is original with God, but it may be imparted by God. And it begins with the longing of the heart to be saved. It begins with the longing of the heart to be a child of God. And it comes to reality when the blood of Calvary is applied. We heard that sung this morning. Sin died when the blood fell, or where the blood fell. That's the beginning of the pursuit of the holy. But it doesn't stop there. Too many are left wandering around without a continual pursuit of the holy. Without a continual pursuit of God. And when a person is wandering without a continual pursuit of the holy, it will lead to the leanness of the soul. But a person who continually pursues the holy, the pursuit of the holy in a person's life, when that is continual, it will lead to the fullness of God in the heart cleansing nature of holiness. Or we could use the words that John Wesley so fondly used, perfect love. Perfect love. Verse 14 is often used as a verse of scripture that a person will take and preach holiness or hell. Stay with me here. Sometimes I cringe when somebody preaches holiness or hell from this verse, because it seems as though that what they are saying, the essence of what they are saying, that a person isn't truly saved until they are entirely sanctified. That they're not really saved until they have been made entirely holy. Inward purity, filled with the Spirit. But holiness begins with regeneration, salvation, repentance is the beginning of holiness. Repentance is concomitant to the principle and the practice of holy living. Sin died where the blood fell. Let me say that again. Repentance is concomitant, or it's an event or situation that happens at the same time. Repentance is concomitant to the principle and practice of holy living. And a concomitant of regeneration is initial sanctification. A cleansing from acquired depravity. Acquired depravity is something that cannot be passed on. It's something that is picked up. It is something that is developed. It's something that you do or I do in depravity. It's a sin that we commit. Regeneration is initial sanctification, the cleansing from that acquired depravity where sin dies. I'm so glad you sang that song this morning. Because it changes the dynamics of a spiritual life and the hunger and the thirst or the pursuit of the holy when we realize that being saved doesn't give us a license to sin, but it is where sin dies. Spiritual life is received in regeneration. And spiritual life itself is holy. But the believer's holiness cannot be complete or thorough until all, let me say this with some emphasis this morning, this would come from the theologians as such, but it's good quality words and thought for us today, that a believer's holiness cannot be complete or it cannot be thorough until all competing and incompatible unholiness is excluded. I've referred to Psalm 51:7 a number of times as I've preached across the years. Psalm 51:7 is a verse that I used over and over again. I remember sitting in my room as a teenager. I was 15 or 16 years old, and I'd heard it preached so many different ways. Struggled to find out what it was and how it was and how in the world can it, what it can mean for me. And I looked at Psalm 51:7 over and over again. And I would just sit there or kneel there, lay there, whatever the case may be. And I would cry it out from the bottom of my heart. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I would quote it. I would say it. I would sing it. Until all competing and incompatible unholiness has been excluded. Until all competing and incompatible holiness is excluded. Sometimes repetition is good. Until all competing and incompatible unholiness is excluded. That's why we say death to self, because there must be a self-crucifixion. Where we can say with Paul the Apostle, it's no longer I, but Christ that dwelleth, that liveth within me. Loving God with my whole being. Loving God with my whole being so that I then am able to love with my whole being others around me. Somebody said, we don't love God any more than we love the one we love the least. We don't love God any more than the one than loving the one that we love the least. You know, that obstinate one, that difficult one, that odd one. All competing and incompatible holiness, all things that are strife and malice and vainglory and pride and jealousy, self, anger, hatred, excuses, yep. What excuses? The excuses that we make for not hungering. The excuses that we make for not pursuing. The excuses that we make. The excuses that we share. The reasons why we don't pursue holiness or the pursuit of the holy. Oh, they're all around. A believer's holiness cannot be complete or thorough until all competing and incompatible unholiness is excluded. So that in that sense, for the majority of us, it is holiness or hell. In the sense that holiness begins at salvation, it is holiness or hell. In the sense that holiness is only expressed as we walk in the light, it is holiness or hell. In the sense that the challenge is, the command is for us to follow and pursue. And when we fail to pursue the holy, it is holiness or hell. Those are strong words. It's a serious moment. It's a time to reflect and to follow, to pursue the holy. Let's stand together this morning. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him. I surrender all. Are you pursuing holiness? Are you pursuing the holy this morning? Is that the commentary of your spiritual life? I trust it so. The altar's open if somebody needs to pray before we go. Be happy to stay and pray with anybody that needs to pray. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your attention this morning. Trust you have a wonderful Lord's Day. Praise God. Praise God. Adam Tedrow, would you dismiss us?